All right, everybody, take your Bibles out and turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. When you find it, please stand in honor of God's word. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. We'll just read the one verse of scripture. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to draw closer to you. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is a sermon that to be honest with you, there's some sermons where you try not to preach, and God always brings you back to them, because a lot of times it's not necessarily but you don't want to preach it because you think there's a problem. It's because God steps on your toes just as much as he steps on anybody else's. And so the Bible talks about here in verse 14, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Complaining is a subject which affects us all from time to time. And it doesn't matter who we are or what subject we're complaining about. God is very clear in the Bible about complaining. And what does it mean to complain? To complain is to express displeasure, to find fault, to criticize, to nag, whine, nitpick, grumble, squawk, and bellyache. A complainer is basically a critic. People complain about various things. We have a lot to complain about with the snow falling down outside these windows. And you know what? That's convicting, because I tend to want to complain about that. I was texting Pastor this morning, and he's like, it's snowing. And I'm like, keep it there, and good that it's snowing where you are. And I think he must have sent it down to us afterwards. But we can complain about our neighbors, and they did this and so. We can complain about politics, and we won't even go there. And we can complain about our boss. We can complain about our health. We can complain about programs in the church. We can complain about the pastor. We can complain about our parents. We can complain about taxes. And moving right along, we can complain about how others drive. We can complain about the way we live our life, the way somebody else lives their life. We can complain about the state up north. So we can complain about that OSU is going to get beat by Michigan next year. I'm sure there'll be a lot of belly aching about that. But anyways, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputing. To murmur basically is mumbled complaint, or complaining under one's breath. And to dispute is to argue, debate, or to question the truth of, to contest, or to quarrel. You know, there's a lot of times, there's a lot of reasons for complaining. When we hold a different point of view. And, like Pastor said before he left, it wasn't necessarily that one was right and one was wrong. But we can complain when somebody holds a different point of view. We can complain when we get frustrated. We can complain when we get fatigued. And we just should know that when we get tired. And you know what? We need to protect ourselves against complaining. We can complain when we get jealous. We can complain when we get wronged. We can complain when we get hurt and when we get bitter. And we can complain when we're overlooked, and we can complain when we're misunderstood and when we're slighted. But as we see by this verse, complaining is a serious sin that's overlooked by many, but not by God. See, God takes the sin of complaining very seriously. Turn your Bibles to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. We're going to look through, we're going to be in Genesis a lot, although we'll be all over the Bible this morning. Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 8 through 19. And by the way, if you say, well, I don't have a problem with complaining. Anyways, moving right along. So I think this is a topic where, if we're honest with ourselves, every one of us has to work on it. And so Genesis chapter 3. Verses 8 through 9, And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. And obviously we know that this is after they had ate the fruit. And the Bible says, and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said, where art thou? And God knew exactly where Adam was. And he said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree wherein I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman which thou gavest to me with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. You know, since Adam and Eve, since pretty much the beginning of time, there has been complaining. It's been a part of human nature. And so we see that Adam complained that God had given him the woman, and she caused me to sin. And then some men in the audience are shaking their head. Yep, that's it. and then the woman turned around and said, "Listen, I sinned because of that serpent." And then, but in other words, what they were saying was, "God, don't blame me. Blame so and so." And you know, Adam shouldn't have blamed anyone but himself. Because it was his fault he chose to sin. You know, Adam had fair warning. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. The Bible says, and the Lord God commanded the man. Those two words, the man. Saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And by the way, if you turn back to verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. You know who was responsible for keeping that garden and for keeping order in the garden? Was the man. And so really, when God said, why did you eat? The buck should have stopped right there. And but isn't it interesting how we like to criticize others when sometimes we are at fault. And marital problems are largely a result of finding fault with a spouse instead of seeing one's own problems. Are you the one who is quick to find fault with your spouse? Well, he doesn't pick up his clothes, and he doesn't help enough around the house. He watches too much television. He plays too many video games. He's always gone. He's always doing his own thing. He never gives me any attention, this, that, and the other, and it goes on and on and on. Well, ladies, what about you? Do you leave your makeup piled high, knee high to a tall Indian on the counter? And is things draped over the shower curtain? And do you keep a clean house? Are there dishes piled in the sink? Do you look to repair the faults that you have rather than point out your spouse's? The truth is, we need to take responsibility for our own actions. You see, as a result of the sin, both Adam and Eve were punished. And Eve here was basically, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And so we see that there's pain in childbirth, and there was a sorrow of toiling in the garden. But you know what's interesting is I never realized this until I was studying. Verse 20, it wasn't until after the curse that Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living things. And so, see, it's in the Bible. After they get in trouble, you call them names. No, I'm just joking. And but anyways, it just kind of one of those things that struck me funny. It was always the woman beforehand, and after the sin, it was Eve. I'm sure God has a relevance for that. I don't know it. I could have sounded intelligence. Well, the reason for that is, but Adam had to endure the elements of the cursed ground through sweat and toil, and both of them were expelled from the Garden of Eden. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of the flock, of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest well, not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. You know what's interesting is when we allow criticism into our home, a lot of times it spreads. I'm thinking about a family out of state, not here in Ohio, where they constantly had roast preacher for lunch. And all throughout, I remember seeing it as a young child. God has been so good to me. I've been in church pretty much the moment I was born. And I've seen this time and time and time again. When we allow criticism in our home, most of the time the sin that's allowed into our home gets enacted out through our children. And we see here that God is saying in verse 7, if thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou dost not well, the Bible says sin lieth at the door. I wonder if Cain and Abel would have stopped the finger pointing and the complaining if Cain and Abel would have both had a good sacrifice. But instead, because thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. I don't care what it is. The moment we take and allow sin into our homes, you know what? And we take and we do not well, like the Bible says, sin lieth at the door. It reminds me of, I remember visiting my grandma Stuker's house in Montana. And my grandma would always tell us, hey, listen, in the morning, don't just leave the house. She said, I need to take the shovel and chop the heads off all the rattlesnakes on the porch. And one morning I thought, that sounds odd, because every morning when I go out there, I don't see rattlesnakes. I don't see anything. So one day I got up early and I decided I was going to look out the window, because there's no way I was opening that door. Because rattlesnakes just don't sound fun. And I looked, sure enough, there was two rattlesnakes on the porch. And this is what I think of when that passage, when we read that passage, if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. Too many times what we condone, what we say, you know what, does not matter. Hey, listen, I can deal with it. Whatever excuse that we throw on that, whatever label we put it on, whether we're like the world and we decide that sin is not sin and we're going to put a different label on it. I don't care if it's homosexuality. I don't care if it's lying. I don't care if it's complaining. When we do it not well, sin lieth at the door. See, the Bible says Satan is as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may desire or may destroy. And the Bible says that, you know what? He desires to have us that he may sift us as wheat. See, listen, what we don't realize is sin lieth at the door. There is a certain protection about doing well, like the Bible says. And if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? But if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. See, Cain hated Abel. Why? Because Abel offered, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. The Lord looked favorably upon Abel, and he told Cain that he wasn't doing what was right. And the Bible says he became wroth, and his countenance was fallen. You see, Cain's major complaint was that he wanted God to accept him even though he was not doing what God had told him to do. He thought that he could make his own religion and God should accept it. I don't know how many times out knocking on doors. Well, God and I have an understanding. The understanding God has is not the same one we have. The Bible says, be ye holy for I am holy. The understanding God has is, if you do well, you'll be accepted. And if not, sin lieth at the door. And why was Cain's way harmful? Well, it's because it was a religion of works. And this is why a lot of good people across Bucyrus are dying and going to hell. Because there's a religion of works rather than a religion of the blood. There are a lot of there's a lot of religions that take away the blood atonement. Hey, listen, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. At the same point in time, we can't make up our own religion. We can't decide that something outside of this book is the way it should be. We can't say, listen, it's because of this circumstance that it's okay to go against the word of God. It doesn't work that way. If we do well, it'll be accepted. If we don't, sin lieth at the door. You say, well, you know what? I have a reason why I don't do, or why I don't pray, or where I don't read my Bible, or why I'm not faithful to God, or whether I'm not. Listen, it doesn't matter. If we do well, God will accept us. If not, sin lieth at the door. It's like those rattlesnakes all over the porch. Sin lieth at the door. You see, after God spoke to Cain, it was obvious that jealousy, envy, bitterness and anger towards Abel erupted. And the Bible says he murdered his own brother. The problem with sin, and I'm probably going to slaughter this, but sin takes us further than we want to go, it costs us more than we want to pay, and it keeps us longer than we want to stay. You say, well, you know what? I'm big enough to handle fill in the blank. No. The problem is that if we do well, we'll be accepted. If not, sin lieth at the door. You say, well, I would never murder my brother. I don't want to find out. I don't want to go so far away from God where I tell God, listen, this is the way it's going to be. I don't want to find out what kind of person I'd become. I know for a fact that I am a better father when I'm walking with God. I know for a fact that I'm a better husband when I walk with God. I know that I'm a better pastor when I walk with God. I know that everything about me is better when I walk with God. I can tell you that with 100% certainty. But what I don't want to find out is how vile and wicked I could become when I walk away from God. If we do well, we shall be accepted. Otherwise, sin lieth at the door. We see here in Genesis that the complaining continued, that he had a wrong spirit. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 9 through 14, and the Lord said unto Cain, where's Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? He's got a bad attitude. He's got a teenage attitude here. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. From the face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Look at the attitude that he has here. The problem is this. A repentant attitude will gladly make restitution. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And Jesus entered and passed through, Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans. He was rich. And we know that he was a tax collector. And verse 5 and the middle part, Zacchaeus made haste to come down, for today I'll abide at thy house. And we see that in verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, the Lord, the half of my goods I will give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore to him fourfold. And Jesus said, this day salvation has come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. We see that a repentant person will gladly make restitution. That's not what Cain did. Cain had an attitude still. And so we see that I'll be honest with you, complaining is dangerous. Do you find yourself complaining? Do I find myself complaining? Most of the time it's when we feel like other people haven't lived up to our expectations. I wonder if we could live up to the same expectations that we put on other people. And Genesis chapter number 16, we see the treatment of people that complain, how they treat other people. And I think we pretty much know this already. Now, chapter 16 and verse 1. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abraham, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go unto my maid, that it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, and the Egyptian, from Abram, had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her husband Abraham to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she had saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said to Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. And the Lord judge between me and thee. But Abraham said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with thee, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by the mountain in the water of the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither will I go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. After reading these 8 verses, we see the need to respect other people and treat them kindly. And we realize that we should be considerate. And too many times when we're critical or complaining, we don't. Many times we don't understand what a person is going through. A lot of times we take and we blame even though we don't understand. And I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we all have done the same thing. And like I said, this is not a message that I expect to get a whole lot of accolades for at the end, but it's a message that I believe God was prompting me. And by the way, let me tell you, a lot of times God beats me up a whole lot more than he beats you up. And because a lot of times a sermon takes almost 8 hours for me. And imagine 8 hours of God just poking his finger in your chest. And if we're all honest with ourselves, we all need this. But the one principle that screams out of Abraham and Sarai was to trust and to wait for God to work. Too many times we get impatient. Too many times we take and we decide things should happen on our timing rather than God's timing. This is why, let me encourage you, don't be critical of the pulpit committee. They're praying. They're working. You know what? I'm sure there's a lot of different ideas in this room on how things should happen. But when we take and we, like we talked about in Sunday school, patience always accompanies faith. And people may not do things the way we expect them to do or the way we would do them ourselves. But we see here that too many times impatience leads to a critical spirit. And that critical spirit never produces what we want it to produce. We think, well, we'll change the circumstances. That's not the way God works. And so we see here that Sarah schemed for a child and used Hagar and Abraham to fulfill her wish. It didn't turn out the way she planned. Who is complaining here the most? Well, Sarah says that Hagar despised her and that she wasn't being a good servant. The problem is it was Hagar's fault. And Hagar said, let this sin be upon you. It was your idea, lady. And the question is too many times we sin and we blame other people for it. When we take and have a critical attitude, the first thing that we should do is look inward. God, number one, am I in a right relationship with you? The answer is if we're critical and complaining, the answer is no. Because God, and we're gonna look at that here in a little bit, God never deals kindly with a critical attitude. Look at the children of Israel. And so for devising this plan, Sarah says, my wrong be upon thee in verse 5. And then we see that in verse 6, that basically Abraham is saying, listen, just do with her what you want. And so one wrong decision adds to another wrong decision. And Hagar despises Sarah and runs away after Sarah deals harshly with her. Just like Cain, jealousy reared its ugly head and played a part in Sarah's attitude towards Hagar. Sarah seemed to forget the fact that this complex problem came about because of the one that looked at her in the mirror. See, in Numbers chapter 16, we see rebellion accompanies complaining. Numbers chapter 16 and verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Korath, the son of Levi, Dathan, Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses, against Aaron, and said to them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and said unto this company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take ye censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said to Korah, hear, I pray you, the sons of Levi, seemeth it a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation to Israel to bring ye near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand therefore before the congregation to minister unto them? We see here that a group of people led by Korah. As I read verse 9, I see they thought that their position was minuscule. What they didn't realize is that their position was greatly used by God. God had them in that position for a reason. And you know what? Just like at Calvary Baptist Church, each person, each position is very important. And God has placed us in each position for a specific thing. And let me ask you, seemeth it a small thing unto you? God places extreme importance on each position here at Calvary Baptist Church. No position is small. From the person who cleans the toilets, to the person that does the sound system, to the person that organizes the ABC club, to the person who runs a Sunday school class, to the person who takes each person here at Calvary Baptist Church is important. And I believe that they thought that their position was not as important as somebody else's. And we see here that Korah had rose up. We see in the first part of the chapter that he took men. And basically the object of a rebel or the purpose of a rebel is to find fault. Well, I don't like this or I don't like that. Well, I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that. When we rebel, criticize, or complain against authority, we are literally doing the same thing that God, since he is the only one who establishes authority over you. Whether we complain about our government, whether we complain about our parents, whether we complain about our pastor or our employer or our coach, the sin of Korah was denial of the authority of Moses as God's chosen spokesperson and leader. And basically, he intruded into the office of the priest. And we see that he had a complaint in verse 3, ye take too much upon you. In verse 1, he says he took men, and so he gathered a crowd. And they were affluent men. They were princes, famous, men of renown. And we see in verse 2, and these are the steps that lead it up to, I believe, what Satan was trying to cause a church split over. Moses, we see that Moses stood his ground. And when we look at verse 32, in Numbers chapter 16, I was in chapter 15, verse 32, the Bible says, "And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that were obtained unto Korah, and all their goods." We're talking about complaining. We're not talking about adultery. We're not talking about stealing. We're not talking about murdering. The Bible talks about the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up over the sin of complaining. Do we have the right to complain about the authority that God has placed over us? Do we complain about our authority? Are we in rebellion when we complain? Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. And verse 1. For sake of time, I'm just going to read a few verses. "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were uttermost parts of the camp." Basically, we see here that Israel's complaint was in an inadequate food supply. They thought, you know what? We're tired of this manna. We remember how it was in Egypt, but they forgot the fact that that food that they had was under bondage. And so we see here that basically they were complaining about the food that God had provided. God gave them something to eat, just like in the Garden of Eden. There was one restriction: do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God always allows man to satisfy his appetite in the right way. But man always wants more. Man always is not satisfied. When we look through the Bible, the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our flesh is never satisfied, and this is why we must live in the Spirit. Every time we live in the flesh, we're going to be complaining. We're not going to be thankful. I'll tell you what, you look, the Bible talks about giving thanks always, all the way through the Bible. Thanks is the opposite of complaining. And this is explained in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But every time there was complaining, God was displeased. In this passage in Numbers chapter 11, God burned them with fire, and Moses prayed, and God stopped. It was all because of complaining. And their complaining was because of selfishness. I don't have what I think I deserve. I'm not getting what I think I deserve. I don't believe that my situation is what I should have. And too many times we take and we're unsatisfied with who we are, what we have, our family around us, what God has given us, and basically we're saying, I am selfish. And there's a warning for us found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. The Bible says, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wickedness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell one day 3,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer." When we allow murmuring and complaining, we place a wall between us and God. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me." When we allow sin into our lives, the sin of complaining, just like the sin of anything else, sin lieth at the door. You see, sin is not one that just comes in by itself and says, "I'm here to stay." Sin always brings its friends. And when we allow complaining into our home, into our lives, into our church, there's sin lying at the door, and we open the door and all of its friends come in. And what happens is, as we find in verse 10, we're destroyed by the destroyer. If we're honest with ourselves, none of us would say we've got this down. None of us. You see, there was so much more that I wanted to talk about. But the question this morning is are we in the rut of complaining? I didn't preach this message because I thought there was a problem. I preached this message because God told me to preach it. And to be honest with you, as I look into my life, I see that I need to improve. And if we're honest with ourselves, we all need to improve on this. Are we in the rut of complaining? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, there are so many sins that it seems like it's just a destroyer of the Christian. And dear Heavenly Father, it seems like this sin of complaining that you don't overlook is one that just seems to wreak havoc in the life of a Christian. It seems like it's one that, if gone untouched, that it just brings in many of its other sinful friends. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to realize the problem. Help us to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, like the Bible talks about. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that if we catch ourselves in a complaining or a critical attitude, that we would say, Lord, it's going to lead down a path that I don't want to be down. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to just draw closer to you. Help us to have more of the mind of Christ. Help us to be thankful. Help us to be holy. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.